it's almost humbling to be back in probably the greatest capacity that I think I've ever felt. Chatting to a couple guys, being gone for 3 months, it's probably been one of the greatest things that God's done in my life, and absolutely far exceeding the hardest. So I think this morning, this is not going to be a normal like preach on something. I actually want to give a testimony as a family member as to what's happened over the last 3 months, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. But it's going to be very vulnerable, very honest, very almost what I feel like I was almost sent to, like, a, you know, the land of the giants, and they come back and like half of the guys are like, it's just too big, it's too scary, and then there's only two that say like, but there's potential. And I felt like that's what God did in me for these 3 months of being away. So I'm going to go through a couple different points, and I think following on Easter, God has been incredibly good, but incredibly quiet, but in, I think, the most loving way that I've actually had it over, yeah, the 9 years since I got saved. It almost felt like he took me really back to the basics, like really back to the beginning again. So there's two scriptures that I am going to just link to this morning. And the first one is John 16, verse 33, where it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Second one is going to be Psalm 51, verse 17. I think this is the perfect representation of the last 3 months. Is my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a contrite heart you, God, will not despise. So it's amazing when God gives us an opportunity, like I had at the end of last year, almost within a very short space of time, to go to Dubai. It was almost one of those moments where I was on the call, I got asked whether I would go, I said yes, I put down the phone, and I almost cried, because I was like, what have I just done to say yes to going to a place that I've never been to, never wanted to go, but something just said, this is good. And it's in those moments where we already start to build a preconceived idea of what the destination is going to look like based on our emotional state. And based on our past experiences, we're thinking, okay, if God's going to send me, it's going to be like prosperous, it's going to be this, I'm going to go and make a major impact, I'm going to go and almost slay the giants, take over. And for me, it was almost the opposite. God basically sent me to strip me down of everything. And that's what the last 3 months have been. When I get emotional at some points, because it's almost like it's humbling and you're so grateful, but it is still like this weird pain when you go through moments like this. And I think following Easter, it was so funny, like being there and God was very quiet, but he wasn't at the same time, if that makes sense. I think there's like things that happen in our lives where we're like, okay, but I want this answer, and God's like, but I'm going to speak this way. Something completely differently. And there were moments where he touched on things, and I felt like he took me away from everything that I almost held dear, everything that I had put my hope in, everything that I thought I was, and everything that I thought I was told that I was. And it was my own literal wilderness season in the actual desert, let's be honest. So it's like he's got some kind of like, you know, sarcasm. Jesus has definitely got humor involved in it. But it was almost this incredible moment tying up in the build-up to Easter of seeing Jesus go through these multiple trials and testing and then being stripped of everything at the end. And I don't think I've ever connected more so with what it must have been like to go through being stripped emotionally, physically, psychologically, relationally, status, everything was gone. Almost feeling like a stranger to anyone and everyone that's in your life. And God was very good with secluding me from people to get me back to him. So from an honest perspective, it was almost like God pressed like a reset button. For what, I don't know. And I think I'm finally getting to the point of wrestling with being okay with not knowing what the 3 months has been. Because to be honest with you, most of the things I'm going to share are only the things that I've seen God show me. There's about 100 different things that I'm sure you'll show me in the next 6 months, but it's not for me to know. And I think as a church, sometimes we have to be okay with not knowing. And we have to get to a point where that knowing doesn't stop us from continuing on the call that God's called us to as an individual, but also as a group of people. And I think sometimes we stop waiting for a specific answer or a specific thing to take place so that we can kind of step forward again. But I want to say, Trinity Central, being back and the love that I have for you has been almost overwhelming, because you really do take for granted what you have when you leave. Going to a place where no one knows you, there's no relationships have been built yet, and you long for the people that know you best. And I can relate more to Paul now than I think I've ever been able to in his letter to the churches, longing for you and praying for you. And then also at the same time realizing, being pulled in so many directions, how even in those seasons, it almost encourages you to not rely on those things as much. And I think God's moved me around so much to do that. I stand before you today, a broken man in need of a Savior. And that has been the core of what I think the last 3 months has been. Of realizing that when everything is stripped away, who am I? What can I offer except the broken spirit and really nothing? There's nothing that I can do that will change His love for me. There's nothing that I can say that would justify a next step or almost like encouraging Him to bless me. It's got nothing to do with that, but it can only be from being stripped bare and almost getting back to the place where we need to be on our knees daily. And there was times where I got really sick. I had stomach ulcers again, which was funny. It was almost like a replication of when I first got saved. And there were like parallels, which I'll explain to you just now. So when I got saved originally, I had got really sick and I had stomach ulcers when I was 19 years old. And I got sent off to the hospital by myself. I drove myself at like 12:30 in the evening to go to Groenkloof to check myself in, because I was just vomiting blood. Because at that point, I didn't know what to do, with no family, no friends, no anything. And I remember being put in the corner of a hospital bed, or the hospital on a bed with a curtain around me with drips, and just being like, I had nothing else to do but to cry out to God. And I remember in that moment how He answered me and started to knit into my life people and places to eventually, when I joined 3CR and actually giving my life to God. But it was only through those moments where we get humbled almost to realizing that nothing can save us except Jesus, that we really start to look for what He's doing. And this time around, I got sick almost to the day, 9 years from when I got saved. And it was almost my 40 days of when I started getting sick. There was 40 days from getting sick to getting back. And God's so in the detail, but we always miss the detail in the moment. And that's when He includes community. And people like Michelle that would just remind me of certain things and messages, and my gran and friends, to just keep that encouragement, but to almost know that they have to not be as engaged. Which can be the loneliest times in our life, because the first thing we look for is people, because we're not meant to be alone. But the realization that for me has come that as a church and as individuals and even as married couples, if we're going to be called to something greater than where we currently find ourselves, that relationship with God has to be first. It cannot be dependent on anyone else or anything else, even the body as like a building. It has to be with Him. Because He can change and move things as He pleases. And if we hold too tightly to those things that have become idols without realizing, it hurts a lot more when He takes them away. Because when we realize then that our dependence was so much more on those parts of our lives than actually on Him. I felt like God basically got me to the point where it was, now this is when I was really sick. I was on my knees. I was sick. I hadn't been out of the house for 3 days. I was so weak and in so much pain, and I couldn't fix the pain that was happening constantly, and it would be like on and off for 6 hours at a time. And you just think, God, why? Like, what have I done to deserve this? This wasn't the plan. Like, how is this doing anything for Your kingdom? And I felt like God said to me, it's not up to you to build my kingdom, it's up to me. And it's amazing in that moment where you submit yourself again under His rule and authority, and it's almost humbling, because we really don't realize how much we put ourselves in the middle of our own story. and how much we become dependent based on what society has encouraged us to do, that actually we become the hero of our story, not Christ. And I think God's saying, even for myself and even for us, and I know it's been happening here on and off through your prayer sessions, is I just felt that statement, like, just wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And you'll know what to do next. So wherever you are, or wherever we are as a body, if he hasn't said anything, just continue. Just continue to love people well. Just continue to serve them. Just continue to seek him. But that earnestly seeking him will become so important, because as a church, and I think what God's going to do in the next season, be it 10 to 15 years, that dependence that we have to have on being sure of knowing his voice is going to be vital to when he really starts to move. And I think it's only things like this that get us back to the complete and utter depths that we have to get to realize, one, that we need to be saved, and two, that longing that is so sore, so deeply ingrained in us to know his voice and to hear it, to understand what he's saying. Almost nothing else can satisfy. And I think that's the point. And I think wherever we are in our lives, if there's things that are disappointing or an unknown, like even now coming back, I have no idea how long I'm here for. I have no idea where I'm going to be staying for the next month. I have no idea what work looks like. I have no idea. And for the first time ever, I'm not trying to plan my life. And it's freeing, but man, it's exhausting. Because all I want to do is have, it's amazing. The first thing we look is we set up structure to make us feel safe. I want a home. I want to give me a room. I'll stay in a tent. Just give me something with four walls and a bit of a roof so that I can feel like, okay, cool, I'm safe here. And I feel like God has not called us to be safe people. I want to share some testimonies of what's happened in terms of what does that mean. And I really feel like God's saying, like, I'm on the move. And it's an incredible privilege to go to another country in the middle of the Middle East and to see the church so alive. It's honestly the greatest privilege that I've had, is to see the hunger in people, but at the same time of seeing how much I allow stuff and realizing that I have God, seeing people that allow things that don't have him. There is more money there than I've ever seen in my life. There is more security in worldly things than I've ever seen. But for the first time in my life, I am worldly poor and spiritually rich. And that is something that I've almost become addicted to pursuing far more than worldly possessions, monetary things, whatever. The glitz and glam almost fell short of expectation, if that makes sense. I got there. I like cars. I like watches. Those are my hobbies on the side. I don't have enough money to do any of those. But we ran into people on golf courses and in the Irish bars. That's the one place you'll meet a lot of really interesting people there. And you begin to have these conversations with these people and you start to realize they are so desperate to be loved. But no one around to love them. Dubai is a really interesting place in terms of you've got 185 different nationalities. Almost in one city and in the UAE as a whole, so the whole country. Of which the locals are 10% of the population. And you cross over these multicultural like things you'll never see. And I think sometimes what we have to do is we have to get outside of our bubble. And if that means our bubble, if you call to be here, then maybe sometimes just get out of your circle. Go and engage with people you'd never engage with. Because I'm telling you, it's the most freeing thing to have a conversation with people and realize how easy it is to love people that actually don't know what it is to be loved yet. Running into conversation with young guys from the UK that are trying to get away from bad circumstances at home and then finding themselves being caught in another trap in the UAE. And you realize that there's so many people that are just longing for community. And that's what we call to build. But you can see God using people across African countries to European to, it doesn't matter the background, worshiping in a church with over 26 different nationalities is a really humbling experience, because there's no underlying tension. They're all there because they were called to be there. And I think we realize there's this underlying tension in South Africa still across cultural and racial barriers that is something that was really weird to see, to go there and realize no one was concerned about where they were from. They were just concerned about, like, who are you? And I think we've lost that as a church sometimes, of that almost wanting to engage and be like, just who are you? Like, tell me your story. Over a beer, tell me your story. Over a coffee, just tell me your story and just ask questions. And I promise you, God opened up amazing conversations because people are longing for God without knowing that they're longing for God. They are so hungry and the world is so desperate for a savior. And I think it's building up where God is going to start to release people into those spaces. If you listen to the conversations that I had there of how people arrived in Dubai, it makes absolutely no logical sense at all. And then everyone gets it and they say, okay, now what? I think sometimes God's like, just wait. But are we good at waiting on God? I don't think so. It takes a lot of years to build that, almost a cadence of waiting on God well, but not becoming stuck while waiting. There is so much hope for the church. I don't think I've been this encouraged since I got saved. That excitement in the midst of having nothing, I'm almost the most excited that I've been in so many years. And the excitement to really just speak life into people and to show them Jesus, if it is over a conversation, if it's at work, it's almost something that I think God's going to do with us as Trinity Central, is really in the next little while, let's just wait on God and he will bring the people or he'll move us out. It's almost one of the two, but don't become too stuck in where you are. You're not here to just make friends with the people that are sitting in this room. We really are here to make friends with the people in the city that are doing cycle races on a Sunday, that have never driven or cycled past the church or at work or whatever it might be. And I really am trusting that in these next couple months, that if anything, what I have learned is that I can really impart and encourage you should I go away again. And it's almost the most beautiful thing because it really requires so little. To just encourage, to just love. But I don't think I've been more humbled by the fact that God is in his graciousness and his kind of his holiness. It's like, I've got this, you don't have to. And be okay with being not needed at certain points. We almost think God needs us. We have to. I need to. I promise you, you don't. He is so in control. It's actually scary to think that he might not need you. But it's at that exact moment of realizing, like, who am I? What are you going to do? That he's like, cool. Yeah. Do this. Do that. Just be here. Just be you. And I think there's so many traps that I've seen people get caught into. And I think God's going to bring that freedom to us as Trinity Central, but also just individually. And I want to see people come in here, and I want to see us go out, and I want to see the growth take place. And I really feel like God is adding numbers to the church globally. And I promise you, if he's busy there, he's going to be busy here. It's just different timing. But people have learned to really wait well and to worship in the midst of waiting. And that's worship is not just singing, it's just daily, building that consistency. Worshipping him with your actions and your words and your thoughts, and almost that his heart becomes our heart, that his ways become our ways, his thoughts my thoughts, and your whole perspective will change. If you're going through a tough season, it will pass. And I think we always need to get to that point of getting back on our knees daily, if you haven't, because that's something that I was doing. I was like, for the last like 9 months, like I would worship and like things are great, and then when it gets really tough, you finally just, you can't stand anymore. But there's something where God meets you and he kneels down with you and he just starts to whisper slowly again. Not answers, just identity. Not direction, just peace. And that's difficult for me because I'm too driven, I'm too stubborn, and he knows it. And it's almost like I've had this conversation with people that I met there, and they're like, yo, but why would God do that? I'm like, because he loves me. And because he's actually jealous for me, Not because he despises me, not because he's upset with me, not because of any other reason other than he just wants me first. But I don't, at that time, necessarily want him. I said it to a couple of guys, I was so afraid of the silence, I wasn't engaging. Because our biggest fear is being alone. No matter what you say, even if you're an introvert, I'm an extrovert, makes it harder, or whatever it might be, our biggest fear is being alone. And the biggest fear is that in our worst moments, God won't answer. And sometimes his not answering is exactly the thing that draws us deeper to him again. Where you're like, if you don't come now, I don't know what to do. There was a point where I was like, if you don't come through, I think I'm done. For the first time in my life, I contemplated my faith and actually being like, I don't think I'm built out for this church thing anymore. I think I'm done. Really. There was a whole week where I was like, I think I'm done with you. I think it's time to walk away. I need a break. I can do this. And then you realize the fear of not having God in your life. And I was like, no, I can't do this. And I just was in my room just weeping and like screaming so much that the neighbor next door in the apartment block came and knocked on the door. I was like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm okay, thank you. Close the door. But almost that you don't care about anything or anyone, just the cry for God. And I'm starting to realize that like the heroes of the faith must have had moments like that where it was so real that even though they wanted to run away, they couldn't. Because that revelation of needing a savior is far greater than anything else. And I don't know how people don't do it without him. So I'm hoping that over the next couple of weeks, you guys will be able to see a first-hand story as to what plays out. But at the same time, I want to say, like, don't give up. Don't give up on God because he hasn't given up on you. Don't give up on the dreams because I promise you, he hasn't stopped dreaming for you. And as a community, I want to encourage you that in your worst moments, that we would encourage you to continue to stand and sometimes continue to encourage you to kneel. But don't give up yet. God has got big plans and I really have a sense that he's on the move. And I think the beauty about the season, about being so small, is that intimacy with God is really going deep. But it requires a lot of us in terms of actually letting so much go. You can't go deep and carry so many things with you. You have to go deep with him. And I'm excited to see, because whatever it's for, it is far greater than today. And far greater than tomorrow. What he builds in his people will carry his message for the next 25 years to 100 years to 200 years. It doesn't matter, but I want to be a part of that story. I don't want to be a part of any other story. There's no other story worth being a part of. So Father God, I thank you for this morning that no matter where we're at, if things are okay, if things are really desperate, Father God, all you seek of us is us. Nothing else, not our status, not our bank account, not our lack of resources. You just want us. And I thank you, Father, that you sent your son as an example of what it is to be stripped for something far greater. That we can connect with the Savior that knows how to connect with us. In our worst pain, in our deepest suffering, in our angriest moments, in our moments of feeling like everyone has left us as you cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, you went through that so that we didn't have to. So that we could be called sons and daughters. Father God, I pray for an incredible peace over this community of Trinity Central and your church as a whole. A continuing deep and a deep-rooted work, Father God, across your church and the world, Lord God, that we would know your voice. And if we haven't heard it for 10 years, 6 months, 2 days, Father God, that you would just begin to speak to us again, to show us something bigger than ourselves, that we would take ourselves out of the story and put you back in your rightful place as King of all, a King that brings peace, a King that loves us so deeply. And Father God, we get on our knees and we say, would you use us? The little that we have, Father God, we bring to you and say, Father God, would you do with it whatever you will, because you are able to. And I want to be a part of this story that brings hope to the world that is in such desperate need of a Savior and an answer that we can point to you and say with absolute certainty, this is the way. I thank you for this community, Father God. Would you continue to have your hand upon Trinity Central and bless them, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.